Max pushes through the tent zipper and takes off into the moonless night. I burst out of the tent wearing nothing more than a t-shirt and underwear as I frantically called for my new puppy to come back. There I was running around the campsite well after quiet hours when I hear someone clear their throat behind me. Oh no! Before we dive in, a warning. The content of this podcast may not be appropriate for some young listeners. This is real life, and that means that sometimes it can be a little bit graphic. So listen on at your own peril. As a veterinarian, dog behaviorist, best-selling author, and trainer, over the past decade, I've had an obsession with transforming the behavior of dogs. Understanding their brains and creating practical strategies that you can implement easily at home. I know all too well when the dream you imagined when you first got your dog is far from your daily reality. In fact, out of the blue, a few months ago, my little dog Gorse was bitten by a dog 20 times her size. And suddenly our life of stress-free walks, a calm and cuddly household, and being teammates was replaced with reactivity, anxiety, and worrying about what's around the next corner. I'm Dr. Tom, this is the Help My Dog podcast, and this is me documenting that journey of transformation, sharing my knowledge and experience with you and having a few laughs along the way. Hello, HMD family. Welcome to this episode of the Help My Dog podcast. Now, today, I think we need to talk about something, and it's a common, I guess, pitfall, roadblock, obstacle that has to be overcome. And you know, I also sometimes find myself, like, I have to catch myself when I go into, you know, one of these moments, right? And that is that there are certain things that we can control in this world, certain things that we cannot control in this world, right? And sometimes what we end up doing as dog owners, especially as owners of dogs with behavior struggles, is we can end up going into a space of really focusing on all of the really annoying things that are far from ideal that we cannot control. And so I've got a bit of over the years of, you know, working with myself and also working with thousands of other people across the world, dog owners, and I've created a bit of a process or a bit of a strategy. And I was teaching on this in the Help My Dog online hub, which is like the membership, it's a community with live teaching every week, but also there's a whole library of video lessons and games and strategies and teaching for all kinds of behavior struggles. It's great if you can get involved in it at some point. And I was teaching in the Help My Dog hub, and I was teaching this exact process, and everyone in the hub was like, this is so useful. This makes sense. This turns it into something practical. Because everybody, you've probably heard people say a thousand times, you know, control the controllable. And it's like, yeah, I get it. But also, like, how do I go about doing that? Or I get it, but also the thing that I can't control is still really annoying. Right? So I've created a process. Now, the control the controllable process for dog owners is three steps. Okay, it's just three steps, and it's three steps that you're going to work through every time you encounter something that you cannot control. So that might be your neighbor's got a new dog and they are running at the fence whenever your dog goes out. It might be that you go to the park, and every time you go to the park, there's this dog that runs up to yours and freaks your dog out, and it's really annoying and it's setting you and your dog back. It might be that you have got family coming to visit, and your family have a 4-year-old, and the 4-year-old, well, you cannot control the 4-year-old, right? Let's be honest. Like, it's not possible. How teachers do it, I do not know. And you got to go through this three-step process. And the three-step process looks like this. Avoid, manage, skill up. And whenever I encounter one of these, you know, uncontrollable things in life, I do this. I grab a piece of paper and I put avoid, manage, skill up. And I draw lines between them, right? So it's avoid, line down the page, manage, line down the page, skill up, right? Now, what we're going to do is we're going to work through an example so that you can, you know, you can go through this process yourself. And I'm going to go, let's go through the four-year-old example. And in fact, I've got a four-year-old niece. So I know, you know, as well as you do, just how tricky it can be to manage, to guide the behavior of a four-year-old, especially when their favorite word is no, right? And so the first thing that we've got to consider is, can I avoid that experience? Well, no, that wouldn't be fair. I like my niece. I want her to come and visit, yeah? But probably what I could do is I could, of our eight dogs, there are some of our dogs that probably would enjoy being exposed to the four-year-old more than others, right? Some of them would find that quite challenging. Some of them will find that a walk in the park. And so I've got the opportunity to say, well, actually, they don't, so some of the dogs don't need to be in the same room as the four-year-old. And that's going to set me and them up for success. So I could, under avoid, I could say, well, actually, I can, you know, have them on separate schedules. Yeah, I can spend time with some of the dogs when I'm not spending time with my four-year-old niece. So I could have them on separate schedules. Brilliant, we've already thought of one. Probably what you'll do as you work through this problem for you and your dog is you'll think of others, right? There'll probably be a list of different ways that you can avoid this. Now, next up, manage. Yeah, is there a way that I could handle that situation such that actually it minimizes the fallout of it? So again, I'm not changing my niece's behavior, right? What I'm doing is I'm saying the way that I set up that situation is going to be more effective and is going to result in success. That's management, right? So what I could do, if I just think of an example, I'll give you an example. This made the Help My Dog Hub members laugh. They found this really funny. What I will often do when my niece comes to visit is what I alluded to, which is some of our dogs are more accepting and enjoy that experience more than others, right? And so probably what I wouldn't do is I wouldn't have Casino, my border collie, as the main focus of attention for my niece. But Ketone, the working Cocker Spaniel, she loves cuddles. She loves to be fed very generously, right? She loves all of these experiences. She loves to sit on laps. She finds that a really great experience. And so she will be the sacrificial lamb, right? She will be the offering to my niece. I will, rather than say, I don't want you to, you know, play with Casino, instead what I'll say is, I think Ketone would really like to sit on your lap right now, yeah? I think Ketone would really like it if you gave her a treat right now. And so again, I can give them something to do so that then they're not doing all the things that I don't want them to do, right? So I'll just put here, sacrificial lamb. Yeah, you get sacrificial lamb. You get the idea. Awesome. Right. So that's an example of manage. We'll go through another example as well so that you really get to grips with this. Third one is the most exciting and the most important. And that is, okay, I'm going to avoid this in the meantime. I'm going to manage it when it does happen and it's unavoidable. But in the meantime, what I'm going to do is I'm going to be skilling my dog up. So I'm going to be thinking, right, how will my dogs be even more accepting of that experience? Well, I could teach them the skill of calmness. I could teach them the skill of optimism. I could teach them that skill of disengagement that you might have heard me talk about before. In other words, they're none of your business, yeah? And I can play games with them, implement strategies so that next time they encounter that experience, they're better able to deal with it, right? In fact, they enjoy it. They move from survive to thrive. So this is the realm of, okay, I've got this game and I've got this game and I've got this strategy. And these are what we're going to do to skill our dogs up in the meantime. And the nice thing about this is you take back control. You come up with an action plan in a situation where normally you'd spend a lot of time and energy thinking about how annoying it is, how frustrating it is, how, why isn't that dog owner in the park more responsible, yeah? Why do these dog owners have dogs if they just go to the park, open their, you know, the trunk of their car and just release their dog onto the world? Like, what's the point? We can all go on and on about that, right? But instead, what we can do is we can do this three-step process. Now, shall we do it for the dog in the park? Would that be useful? So, first things first, avoid. I think we forget this often. If every week you go to the same place to walk your dog and every week they get terrorized by an off-lead dog that also goes there at the same time, well, we could go there at a different time. Or we could not go there at all and find another place to walk our dogs. And I know that's not ideal. And I know that that's not a perfect world. We don't live in a perfect world. And what I don't want for any of you is to repeatedly have that stress and that trauma every week and effectively to a certain extent. And sometimes I have to give tough love. We're putting ourselves in that situation and we could do something else. We don't want to, but we could. And so we've got to realize that's a choice. Now, second, hey guys, I just want to take a little pause to let you know how you can get involved with the official Help My Dog membership hub. If you're enjoying geeking out about the science of dog behavior, want to watch dogs practically being trained in real life, and you want to progress even further, you can join our members-only community and get targeted learning with me each and every week to help you combat your dog struggles at home, on walks, and out and about. And right now, when you jump in, you can actually watch Gorse's behavior rehabilitation from trauma to triumph in an over-the-shoulder video diary showing real-life situations. To find out more, just head over to www.helpmydog.com/hub. Now, second component of this, if we're working through this, well, we could manage that situation. So what we could do is we could, for example, if we know that that other dog tends to get very excited about our dog and charge up to them, well, we could be mindful about what we do with our dogs, right? I've had this conversation with a student once. It really, really made me laugh because you could almost see the light bulb happen as we were talking. And she'd just been taught by me on, has anybody ever seen this where there's like a big horse lunge whip or a horse lunge whip. It's like a big whip looking thing. And one of the games and strategies that I like to do, especially in certain behavior cases, is we attach a toy to the end and we get the dog to chase that toy around, right? As if it's like a real thing, and then use it to teach them like real life self-control and disengagement and all kinds of other cool things. And the student was like, oh, I'm so annoyed. My dog had this like awful experience. I'm really frustrated with the behavior of this owner. I went to the park with my flirt pole, like my lunge whip with the toy on the end. And we were playing it and we were having a great time. And my dog was darting around. And I was, you know, Tom, I was really getting it to look like a squirrel in the way that it moved. So my dog was really getting engaged. And then another dog joined in. And I thought, how irresponsible. This other dog joined in and then, you know, they had a fight and it was a big disaster. It kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Right? That actually we kind of created that situation in that, of course, the other dog's going to get involved just by the nature of the activity that we chose. Okay? So that would be one example of how we might manage that situation. Another example of how we might manage that situation is as the person approaches and they're like, don't worry, he's friendly. Simply putting your hand up and saying, I appreciate that my dog is not. Right? I need you to get your dog back on lead. Just really polite and, but also very, very direct. My dog won't enjoy that experience though. Please put your dog back on lead. Yeah? Totally polite, but also really, really clear. Okay? Another example of how we might manage it. If you're screaming at your phone or your computer now and you're saying, but the person I'm thinking of won't listen, then we probably need to go back to the avoid component. They can't be in that park all the time. Waiting for you. It must be that you go to the same park and more often than not at similar times of day. Changing the time of day or just changing the location can just get that stress out of your life. Third component though, if we're working through this exercise, is we can skill our dogs up for that situation. And you're probably thinking, how? Like that's the other dog's behavior, not my dog's behavior. Well, here's the interesting thing. The more you skill your dog up in the skill of disengagement, so that is your dog truly believing and living in that other dog is none of my business, the less that other dog will visit. And you're like, how? This sounds like magic. It kind of is. There is I see this a lot in dogs that repeatedly get bombed by other dogs, right? And other dogs just gravitate towards them. It's kind of because they're like, oh, I'm not interested, but I'm a little bit interested. But I'm not interested, but I'm looking at you. I'm not interested, but I'm thinking about you. And it's like they draw them in. And the more you grow that disengagement and the less they're looking at them, the less they're thinking about them, the less the other dog will be drawn in. Best example of one of our dogs that does this is Bette. Literally, she can walk through a beach full of dogs and they will not, they literally will not go near her because she's just like, she lives, I am none of your business, right? She literally lives it. And sometimes dogs can come right up to her and she will be like, no, I really am none of your business. And she will actively turn her head away and carry on walking. And the other dog goes, oh, okay, fine. But it's this middle ground that some dogs fall victim to where it's like, I'm kind of your business. Yeah, and dogs don't like mystery. Yeah, dogs don't like dogs that are, you know, ooh, do they love me? Do they hate me? They're going to go find out, right? And that could be your dog that's saying, I love you, I hate you, right? That makes sense. I hope so. Another skill that we can use to skill up, well, your dog will be more resilient to that experience the more optimistic and confident they are. Yeah, it's traumatic for your dog when another dog runs up to them because they deem it to be something to worry about. But we've all got to accept that there'll be some dogs where a dog will run up to them and they couldn't care less. Yeah, because they're optimistic, they're confident, and that is within our control. So I guess what I'm saying, guys, is this three-step process is really about you asking yourself the questions of what are you in control of? And it always falls into these three questions. How can I avoid this to a greater or lesser extent? How can I avoid it completely? Is that appropriate for me to avoid it? Secondly, how can I manage this situation? How can I set up this situation to be 1% more successful, 5% more successful? Is it possible to make it 100% more successful just by the way that I manage myself or my dog in that situation, right? And then thirdly, there's always a way that we can prepare better for a situation by skilling our dog up more. Asking yourself the question, well, what skills would make this experience better for my dog? And then you can teach those skills, right? And if you're not sure how to teach those skills, get into the Help My Dog Hub, because we go through the skills and how to grow them and how to teach them and give you the practical strategies you see dogs working through them. And in doing that, you replace all that energy that you spend, you just literally throw out into the world and it just disappears because it's not serving anybody by trying to change someone's behavior that you're not in charge of, you're not the boss of, right? And instead you're putting that energy into something that is going to move you and your dog forward. Now, speaking of avoidable situations, speaking of this three-step process, what might be fun to do? I'm going to do some cringe stories today. It's going to happen. But what might be fun to do is just think, as I'm going through these cringe stories, just have a think about, would the plot of this story change having gone through the avoid, manage, skill up framework? Because often they will. We discover that sometimes situations can be avoided. Right, let's do this. Let's do this. So we have a cringe story. And the cringe story is the following. Dear Tom, here's a mortifying story about my dog. Let's call him Ted and his love of squirrels. One day we went for an off-lead walk and he'd walked pretty calmly on lead along the road and passed a few fields of sheep. Well done, that's cool. When I knew it was safe to let him off lead, I did. Something about this makes me think it wasn't safe. We'll see. Seconds later, he was rooting in a verge and suddenly he did his sneaky, got it, run away. I love it. Does anybody else's dog have like a specific run for if they have something that they shouldn't have or they think they shouldn't have? This is great. I was immediately suspicious. His body language never lies. He had smug written all over his movements. When I got close to him, I saw he had a squirrel in his jaws. No! He played keep away for a few minutes, but gradually I got close enough to hold his harness. A few minutes later of collar touch, and he let go of the squirrel, which had clearly been dead for a while. Phew, at least he hadn't killed it. This is true. This is a bonus. We weren't too far from a bin. Oh no. So I put Ted on lead and walked back, feeling a bit queasy at the sight of the poor dead squirrel. Rest in peace. However, Ted thought the game was still afoot, jumping and wagging for a chance to catch the new toy. The next thing I knew, he jumped up and bitten off the bushy tail to scoff. What? So now I had to walk, holding the eyeless squirrel at head high. Oh my, this is graphic, Madeleine. Honestly, this needed editing. So now I had to walk holding the eyeless squirrel at head height like the Statue of Liberty whilst fending off a dog who wanted his toy back. Not one of my favorite dog owning experiences. Needless to say, I washed my hands very thoroughly when we got home. Hope this makes someone laugh. Well, it's made me laugh. I love you poor thing. That is horrendous. Right, let's do another one. We had just adopted a 10-week-old puppy I'll call Max. And we took him tent camping that first weekend. Dumb idea, I know. Max was great. He really took to camp life. Much later, we all went to bed inside the tent. Suddenly, Max pushes through the tent zipper and takes off into the moonless night. I burst out of the tent wearing nothing more than a t-shirt and underwear as I frantically called for my new puppy to come back. There I was running around the campsite well after quiet hours when I hear someone clear their throat behind me. Oh no! I spun around to see a serious looking park ranger holding Max in one arm and a torch in the other hand. Did you lose something, he said, other than your pants? I sheepishly tugged on my t-shirt and retrieved my puppy. Max grew up to have a perfect recall, and that ranger has become a lifetime friend. We still laugh about that first meeting. Brilliant. That's a great way to make friends. I like that. Give it a try. awesome story, guys. Really funny. I think, you know, one of the things that there's almost like a constant balance, isn't there, of controlling the controllable so that things don't happen again and not finding ourselves repeatedly in a situation where it's proving embarrassing, detrimental, or just stressful. But also when things do happen, saying to yourself, this is information, like this information, work on my recall, which you did, which was awesome. But also reminding ourselves that we brought a dog into our lives, not for a robot. We brought a dog into our lives for fun, variety, adventure, not knowing what was going to happen next. Admittedly, Max and Ted took this a little bit far. But the point is this is kind of what we wanted. And sometimes the expectations that get put on us by other people of how dogs should behave and what dogs should be doing, we forget it and we put pressure on ourselves and we lose the joy of dog owning. So guys, that was this episode of the Help My Dog podcast. We will see you next week. Go forth, implement that 3-step strategy. Let me know how you get on. And guys, if you've got a cringe story, whether it's big, small, funny, shocking, whatever it is, we want to hear it. And all you've got to do is email cringe@helpmy.dog. That's cringe@helpmy.dog. And Madeleine will spend countless hours reading them and laughing. And I then have the trauma of having to read them out. All right. So I will see you next time. Stop right there. Before you go, it's my mission to get you to your dream that you imagined when you first got your dog. Those walks with freedom, those walks where you're not worrying about what's around the next corner. Maybe actually being able to leave the house rather than, you know, your dog having separation anxiety and it limiting you. And one way that we do that is through the BehaveVet Behaviour Clinic. I started it over a decade ago. They're a team of over 10 clinicians that are veterinary professionals, behaviourists, trainers that I have trained, and they do this day in, day out, these trans transformations. Take dogs from reacting to 10 out of 10 dogs to having close and successful interactions. The only thing stopping you from accessing that service is getting in touch. Now, the other thing to say is if you're insured with Petplan, Many Pets, Kennel Club or Agria in the UK, we do direct claims with them, which means you can get an entire behaviour transformation covered by your insurance and an out-of-pocket expense to you of just £25. So guys, if you want to find out more about booking a remote Zoom consultation with the Behave Vet Behaviour Clinic, all you need to do is go to www.beha.vet/HMD. www.beha.vet/HMD. And if you want to hear some of our recent wins, then head on over to Trustpilot and search Behave Vet.